How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Live here today, a lot to talk about. If you want to join us on the program today, this is how you do it. Give us a call, 844-411-5411. That is toll-free, 844-411-5411. Send your text messages to 425-780-7566. If you're listening on satellite radio, you see another number on the screen. Don't call that number. I'll give you the numbers here again in a moment to contact the show. All of these numbers also available, as always, on the right side of the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. So head to WrestlingObserver.com. All the contact information is there. Man, we got a lot of stuff to get into here today. It's actually crazy how much stuff is going on. Over the last 24 hours, I have watched the AEW show, two nights of the G1, the UFC show. We have the WWE pay-per-view here. I want to watch some of the Evolve show. Whatever you would like to talk about, floor is open today. What are your thoughts on the Fight for the Fallen show last night? Do you have thoughts on the G1? Did you watch any of UFC? What are you watching tonight? Are you watching the Extreme Rules show? Any predictions for the show? All of this is open for discussion today, 844-411-5411, toll free. Text messages 425-780-7566. You can also email me, brian@wrestlingobserver.com, and I'm available on Twitter at Brian Alvarez. We'll also open with some news here today. There were some injuries last night at the Fight for the Fallen show. A couple of days ago here on this program, we talked about the WWE creative meeting where the decision was made no new matches are going to be added to Extreme Rules. Well, everyone, it's WWE, and this morning, Vince added two matches to the show. It is now a 12-match show. We'll talk to you about the new matches, what's scheduled, and so much more. So stick around. Back in a moment to kick it off, Wrestling Observer Live. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Yes, I just realized the show's on.
Mm-hmm.
WWE Extreme Rules. Yeah. I'm going to watch it live right now. It is the... You know what this is, everybody? What is this? What is it, Mike?
I'll tell you what it is. It's Charlie Caruso looking very...
No. What is it that we're watching Charlie Caruso on? I know, but what part of it?
The pre-show.
Okay. Incorrect, Mike.
Oh, yeah?
You would have been chastised, shouted down by Vince McMahon.
Oh,
it's the kickoff show.
The kickoff show, yes.
That's his new one. He hates pre-show.
Hate it.
It must be the kickoff show.
And pre-show.
Yes, there's Charlie. Ah, my kickoff show's not even working right now. What's going on?
You're missing...
It just died. Oh, there it is. I'm missing
Sam
the
Roberts.
Coach.
Yeah.
Great. It's a Lashley video package here. Anyway, as noted in the opening segment, they've added more matches to this show. Everything was great. We had 10 matches. The announcement during... It was an announcement, but they had the creative meeting. I'm not going to add anymore. And then woke up today, and I had people there texting me saying, oh my God, did they just add something? And sure enough, they added two matches. So this is the lineup now. We have two kickoff show matches, not pre-show. We got Finn Balor versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the title, and Drew Gulak versus Tony Nese for the title. Both of these are going to be on the pre-show. Undertaker and Roman Reigns versus Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre, no holds barred, is opening up the show. Aleister Black, Cesaro, Kevin Owens, Dolph Ziggler, that has been added. We've got the Revival versus the Usos, Daniel Bryan and Rowan versus Big E, Xavier, and Heavy Machinery, Triple Threat. Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley, Last Man Standing, Ricochet, AJ Styles, Bayley versus Alexa, Nikki, Kofi Kingston versus Samoa Joe, and Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch defending their titles against Baron Corbin, Lacey Evans. It's like there's so much wrestling this weekend. And their idea was, oh, damn it, we're going to give them more. So they added two more matches. The show is going to be 4.5 to 5 hours long.
Oh, no.
That is the last thing that I needed today was 4.5 to 5 hours of wrestling.
You can think positive about it.
No, I can't.
Well, they went short the last time around. How is that positive
they're going long this time?
Because maybe they've added matches because they're going to cut things really, really short. Like Braun and Bobby Lashley is explosive, yet only 3 minutes
long. Must we play
long.
this devil's advocate? Come on.
Brian.
There's 12 matches.
I'm trying to put my best foot forward here. Look, I understand that this is a very daunting task. It is for all of us sometimes watching a WWE pay-per-view. But look, it's in Philadelphia. The crowd ought to be very entertaining. And I will not let this in any way put a bad taste in my mouth after this weekend with everything that took place. No matter what it was that you liked, there was something for you to like that took place on Saturday night on a canvas mat. I am not going to let WWE do that to me tonight.
Get out of here.
Not doing it.
I'm not here Tuesday. I wish I weren't here Monday so I could have Mike recap all of Extreme Rules.
Positivity.
Get out of here. What are you talking about?
Wait a second. I got to recap Raw, and let me tell you something. That's a far dicier proposition than anything that takes place tonight.
That was a good show 2 weeks ago. I'm being positive.
It was last week. It was the absolute drizzling.
Yeah, it was last week. So, but guess what?
Yeah.
The week before it was good.
Dude,
be positive, Mike. Come on, happy face.
Tony Nese, Drew Gulak is going to be good. Revival Usos is going to be good.
This great weekend of canvas matted underwear grappling or whatever. Be positive about tomorrow.
Baby. It's all goodness. It's all been goodness that's been taking place, and I'm not going to let them ruin this tonight. And you know what? I am not going to let you ruin Raw or the prospects of doing the show on Tuesday. So you just move along here with your negativity about tonight's show, and hopefully the callers they call in will give us some positivity if you let them on.
Oh, I'm sure. Let's go, caller. You're on the air. What's up?
I have a question about Extreme Rules. I heard the reason why Baron Corbin's in this main event tonight is because he's huge with the woman audience. Do you know who else on the heel side is pretty big with the woman besides Randy Orton? Because that's going to be her name.
Hey, Ryan, when you read stuff on the internet, do you ever actually, like, think about it?
Well, I was thinking about it, and the only other person that came to mind was Magnus, but he doesn't work.
No. Stop for a second. Do you ever think about your question when you ask it before you ask it here on the air?
Yeah, I thought this out for a couple of days.
You did? You thought it out for a couple of days. Okay. Are you an observer, subscriber?
Yo, look at Baron's shirt.
Well, it doesn't matter.
No, it does matter. Are you a subscriber to The Observer?
Why does it matter?
Well, Ryan, let me explain this to you. If you go into The Observer, there's all of the big stories at the beginning, and then there's the results, usually. And then there's all of the news from all of the other different promotions, okay? Now, right before the results, there is the ratings info for the week. And so, if you read something on the internet that said that Baron Corbin was big with the female audience, it seems to me that what you could do is you could go into The Observer and you could find out if that's true by checking out all of the shows where Baron Corbin is the focal point, and then finding out if the female audience rose or fell. Did you do that?
Forget about Observer subscribing. WWE Network subscribers need to turn it on right now.
I know
his shirt. It just went off. What? Did you see the shirt?
I saw his shirt.
Look at that shirt.
I'm busy with Ryan here. So did you do that, Ryan?
That would be too difficult, Brian, because that would require a great memory of, like, knowing when Baron Corbin
was No. It says right there. It explains what all the matches were, and then explains the audience. And you said you thought about this for days. You had plenty of time to do that. The answer, Ryan, to your question is, Baron Corbin is not a big hit among the women. The shows where Baron Corbin headlines, the women's audience does not do well. So, wherever you heard that, I mean, maybe Vince, I don't know, maybe he's got some crazy idea that Baron's a big, handsome man and all the women want to watch, but the women do not tune in. They don't stick around for Baron Corbin. So to answer your question, no, he's not a big draw among the women.
They like his big, bald head.
Well, my question actually was, who else was a big draw besides Baron, and the only people I've heard are Randy Orton. And
I want to thank you very much for the call. You know, you could all very easily listen to the crowd as well, Ryan. When Roman Reigns comes out, when Roman Reigns was at his most hated, the women screamed for him and they cheered and they squealed. He is very popular among the ladies, and Edge was very popular among the ladies. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's popular among the ladies. The problem is that the show itself, the entire promotion, is not popular among people. That's the problem we're dealing with right now. Talked a couple days ago about the teenage audience down 52%. That's over the past 2 years. I'm not even talking about, like, you know, let's go back to see what the teenage audience was in 2008, 2010. I mean, 52% in 2 years. There are some big time problems here. This is an uncool product. And you ain't turning it around with a couple of women that like Baron Corbin's bald head or the big dog. This is clearly not working.
Think anybody rubs it for luck?
I mean, that's another one. Like, every now and then you'll hear people go, oh man, in the Attitude Era, you know, Sonny and Sable out there, half naked, and now, you know, these women are serious wrestlers and people don't want to see this. That has nothing to do with anything. Like, you could put half-naked women on Raw. It's not turning this thing around. It's 2019. It's not 1998 here, 1999, where you were a teenager and trying to watch the Scramble channels. I mean, well, it's just not that way anymore. You can go all over the internet and see whatever you want, and WWE putting half-naked women on television is not going to turn around the teenage male audience. They want something that's cool, and this show right now is not cool. That's it.
What about Finn Balor and his very, very tight shorts?
Because it's not cool for people, apparently, because this show is doing very poorly.
Out there right now with Shinsuke Nakamura, so we are about to get the Intercontinental Championship match here. 20 minutes into the pre-show, 40 minutes left, we still have Nice and Gulak to go in a match that I don't think I'm going too far out on a limb here to say probably is not going to be given the time or be as good as the match he had last night with Matt Riddle.
Back in a moment with more Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Spurs here says, Fight for the Fallen was pretty great. One thing bugged me, though. I really hope AEW aren't going to have heel authority figures. Brandi was basically a heel in her match with Ali. I've been kind of worried she's being written a little too much like when Karen Jarrett ran the Knockouts division in Impact. Well, the name everyone else is saying is Stephanie. And she did, in fact, do a total babyface promo and then went out there and wrestled as a heel. And then when the show ended, she came out to offer a check for $150,000 to charity. It was bizarre. Yeah. And I can tell you all one thing, okay? I can tell you this. I know that some people saw that and they said, well, Cody doesn't believe in heels and baby faces. And you may be right, but I can tell you for a fact that AEW is going to be built around heels and baby faces. This is not going to be a company where you watch one show and this guy's a heel, and for example, we watch the next show, and Adam Page is a heel, and Chris Jericho's a babyface. That is not going to happen. There are going to be heels and babyfaces. Now, what's going on with Brandi? I have no idea. Maybe there was some very complicated, well-thought-out idea about how, by doing that promo, she was telling the world that she needed to do what she had to do to win, and that meant turning heel. I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is, as a viewer, I was confounded. How's that for a new word?
Yeah. I like it. Very good. They are also doing some long-term storytelling. She is the queen of being disingenuous. We see that with her multiple faces that she has put on, not only last night, but through the entire time since AEW has been created, kind of playing both sides of the fence. Cody has in some ways as well. MJF seems to be doing that. Cody and MJF seem to have an interesting relationship in that MJF is always kind of sliming up to him in a way, and he's one of the guys that Cody reached out to as a star in the indies, so you have that playing there, and they're probably going to be involved with things in AEW for a long time, so that could just be fantasy booking, but I wonder if that's got something to do with it. That wasn't one of my bigger problems with last night, although it was a problem. You know, and there were some good things that happened last night as well, too. I thought, you know, with Sonny Kiss, I think was a good standout. I think Shoko, Nakajima, and Riho have proven that they don't need stardom. And in a lot of ways, they don't need. I know a lot of people want to fantasy book them and New Japan together. But frankly, there is so much talent in DDT and Big Japan and All Japan that they could function just fine without ever having anybody from New Japan in there. I'm not sold on the way they have sold these women's tag teams and the whole women's division. I don't think they've really put their best foot forward. Bea Priestley, even though she had a good night last night as far as crowd reaction goes, didn't put her best foot forward by stomping it on Britt Baker's head. But still, at least Bea Priestley, you know, the people got into that match, and it was a far better match than I think the overrated tag match they had at the last show. So that was good, but that show was way too long. I think they have an Adam Page problem, in that I believe that Chris Jericho, I know Dave mentioned on the show for subscribers last night or this morning that he believes that Chris Jericho at 48 years old has got the Ric Flair syndrome, which is he wants to be a heel, but people really want to desperately cheer him. I don't believe that's the case. I think Chris Jericho has always been very good at getting people, no matter what it is, whether he was being silent when he had the light-up jacket, whether it was the whiner, whatever it is, he's always gotten people to be able to cheer him, and even though they might laugh at him, even though they might give him a cheer here and there, they respect him as a heel. The issue is actually Adam Page, and if Adam Page is going to be one of your big stars, if Adam Page was supposed to be head and shoulders above those other guys in the Battle Royal that Chris Jericho did mention and bring up, you know, Chris Jericho did the best job out of anybody so far in what anything, in what whatever AEW has done, to make Adam Page sound and feel like a star, and it took Jericho to beat him up and cut that promo to go ahead and do that. So the problem's not Jericho and people wanting to cheer him, the problem is why would somebody really want to get behind Adam Page, and what really makes Adam Page really special? And I think they really need to work on that.
All I know is there's nothing on the show last night that I disliked more than what I just saw, which was Finn Balor making his comeback, and they decided to... Shinsuke Nakamura won the title, by the way.
Yes,
new Intercontinental Champion. Didn't I tell you that, everybody? Everybody thought that I was crazy when I mentioned that every time someone's friend or partner walks out of WWE, their friend or partner ends up with a championship. It's three straight times now, Mike. Can we acknowledge that I was right? So anyway, on top of that, as I was saying, WWE decides to show a commercial for Extreme Rules during the Extreme Rules pre-show. Okay, fine. Go for it.
Let me give you the Dave excuse?
Go for it. But you know what? You know what? Why don't you do that during the heat? They did this during the comeback of the babyface. He's running wild for his comeback, and he's in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. You can barely see him, and there's a giant Baron Corbin commercial on the screen.
But the thing is, and two, we are on a half hour, so that may be one of the reasons why they decided to do that, but why then, I mean, again, just schedule the match differently, put it on a little bit later, a little bit earlier, where it takes place in the first third or at the beginning portion of the end, but not actually during the heat or the comeback.
You know, I don't watch a lot of sports. Clearly, Vince doesn't either, but, like, whoever told Vince that they don't do gameplay during commercials. Can you also tell Vince that during a very, very important action-filled play in the middle of the Super Bowl, that's not when the announcers start plugging some product? They do that when, like, everyone's huddling or whatever. Why would you put the commercial in the middle of the comeback?
I don't get it. Number one, Charlie Caruso is devastatingly attractive. Number two, I don't get it either, because on SmackDown, with these two guys, Nakamura and Balor actually did more on SmackDown during their commercial breaks just a couple of days ago, because the action doesn't stop because we have a split screen. And even though they don't utilize the time correctly, it doesn't stop like they've been stopping it on Raw. So they're not even doing it just days before on a match they just had. So, yeah, I am all for different formatting on this show and trying different things. This one has not worked out at all. That and two out of three falls, which God bless, I hope goes away.
Bert says, my favorite part of the AEW show last night was the venue. Looked really cool on TV. I appreciate them trying a different looking presentation. I'd be happy if they ran every television show from that building.
No, don't. I tell you why. And here's the thing. If you have it guaranteed sold out, fine.
Well, I guess it's outside.
But the thing is, it's a very unforgiving, and you can do play around with angles, and they did do that last night, and they got some really good shots out of it, but I have a feeling that building is going to be incredibly unforgiving unless it's got a lot of people in it. It's just the way that the amphitheater is set up. It's made to look a certain way, and I think it would be bad if they had just a small crowd. I don't know exactly what that held, but I'm not sure if they're going to be able to do that every time out.
Somewhere in a parallel universe, Nakamura versus Balor is the main event, and Baron Corbin is in the opener, this person says. Welcome to WWE. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, this is Paul in Barbersville, and I'd like to talk AEW, but first off, how about that Jeff Cobb versus Tomohiro Ishii match?
It was awesome. Everything ever wanted in wrestling.
Oh, yeah, that was 1.5 giga Ortons on the Mean Guy Match metric unit scale. It was amazing.
Wow.
And
hey, Paul.
But
Paul, can I ask you a question? I'm sorry, and I know you want to talk about AEW, and I do too.
But we've got 2 minutes. You're
a Chikara expert here and everything. Can you very, very quickly explain if at any point Super Smash Brothers, who are now the Dark Order, got over with a fan base? Because if you're new, you wouldn't think these guys were over at all.
These guys were very over in Chikara, but the thing is, and I was going to talk about this, they were initially, for much of their run, a comedy act. Player Uno, now Evil Uno, had a pause button on his tights. And the thing is, these guys, they had visa issues. They were always very good, but they were off the U.S. radar for a long time. So they really got to build these guys up and have some segments to tell us who these guys are and why they're doing, because only, even among the hardcores, not that many people know them, and of the ones that do, they remember them as the wacky guys with the video game gimmick and a pause button. And if you've been watching Being the Elite, they had on 1 week a 90-second promo explaining who they are and what they do. And if you missed that episode, or if you don't watch Being the Elite, all you know about these guys is that one's a fat guy in a weird mask, and one's a skinny guy dressed as Kratos from God of War.
At least I can tell them apart in, like, the Forgotten Sons.
One's big.
I mean, I think they're pretty easy
one's
to tell
One's got a
apart,
mask on.
But
big.
Yeah, one's... But, I mean, I think they're very good workers, particularly Stu Grayson, a.k.a. Stupefied, a.k.a. Player Dose, a.k.a. Zombified. I think they're very good workers. I think they will eventually get over because it is a work rate based crowd, but it's going to be an uphill battle, and they still got to establish who these people are.
Well, that's undoubtedly true. The Dark Order, it's been 3 shows now, and they are not over. But hey, what can you do? Not every single solitary person is going to be over. To me, the Dark Order, as much as I like, don't get the Dark Order right now, I mean, to me, they had to win last night because you need a heel team that's going to win this bye in the tournament. It's too weird to have a babyface team get a bye in a tournament. It's got to be a heel team. So I presume that they're going to be the team that gets the bye, which also means one less Dark Order match in the tournament.
Right.
And you know what?
And
I'm sorry, Paul, but a lot like Sean Spears, I'm sure down the line they're certainly going to serve to help people like Private Party because of their experience level that they have.
Back in a moment, Observer Live. Mike, are you aware that 66% of men lose their hair by the age of 35?
Wow. 66%?
I know that producer Scott is aware. Producer Dom is aware.
Yeah, I've heard his... Yeah.
Producer Jared is aware. Every one of our producers actually is aware, so I think the moral of the story is don't be a producer on a radio show if you want to keep your hair. But if you do want to keep your hair, by the time you notice that it's starting to go, it's too late. And so the solution to this is 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and this one's for you, Mike, sexual wellness for men. Yeah. Baldness is optional. A well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions which can help you keep your hair. There's no snake oil pills, gas station counter supplements, prescription solutions here backed by science. And you can order now. If you are concerned and you want to keep your hair before it goes, listeners to this show can get a trial month of this whole service here, 4hims.com, for just $5 right now while supplies last. You can head to the website. The website is 4hims.com/wrestling. That is 4hims.com/wrestling. And if you go to that website, make sure you put the slash wrestling, you can get a trial month for just $5 right now. So check it out, 4hims.com/wrestling.
That's
very important.
A guy like me's budget.
Very important, by the way, if you're going to be a producer for a radio show. You should look into this right now, and everybody else as well. 66% by 35. It's crazy.
It is, man. It is. And I've heard Dom's Reed and obviously producer Scott too. So yeah, it's hard out here for producers as well as all of us. Now Tony Nese does not have that sort of problem. He is coming to the ring right now, so we are set up for he and Drew Gulak in the WWE Cruiserweight Championship here with 18 minutes to go here left in the pre-show.
All right, let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on? Where'd it go? Caller, you're on the air. What's going on? Hey, there we go.
Sorry. Yeah, it's Ken from Staten Island. I actually went to the Jacksonville show last night, Fight for the Fallen.
And then went back to Staten Island?
What's going on?
Yeah, I got back. I think it was...
I got a special treat, by the way, for all of the video.f4wonline.com listeners right now. For those of you that are interested in 4hymns.com/wrestling. This is just for you. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, so I went to Fight for the Fallen last night, and I had a great time. It is a really good venue. And they didn't charge for parking, which is a plus, too. But one thing that was kind of dumb is this probably wasn't... you probably weren't aware of it watching at home, but they had kind of like a big screen, like a Titantron, but they only put it on for like 20 seconds during the show, and the audience was cheering like crazy when they put it on, and then they took it off 20 seconds later. Because, like, for example, I'm the biggest Aja Kong fan. It was worth it going.
Oh, yeah, it's you.
Surprise appearance.
I knew that voice. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, I don't think the crowd knew who it was when she first came out, because it was hard to see, so... If you had the Titantron, you would have known immediately who it was. So
I did hear there was a chant early on about turn the screen on, and everybody was like excited when the screen got turned on, and I was actually angry because when I went to the pay-per-view here in Tacoma, they didn't have the screen on for 0 seconds during the show, and nobody could see anything. It sucked.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought it was odd because they'd show it from the corner and it wouldn't be on. And, you know, it's like Pavlovian. Unless this is football and a team is driving down the field or something like that. I mean, that's the only time that the video should be off. I mean, it's just, I don't get it.
Any other thoughts on the show? Yeah, what'd you think overall? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle?
Worth the money in the drive?
Definitely thumbs up. It was long, though, and it was kind of hot, too. They were passing out these fans. But it wasn't raining, at least. Friday night was like one of the worst rainstorms I've ever experienced. Like, so they were lucky, even though it was covered. So the rain wouldn't have totally ruined the show, but it definitely would have had an effect.
You ever been to a church where they have those fans and all the women got the fans going?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like all you're doing
all
is you're generating. Yeah, I know. It's a burst into flames, generating more heat by doing that. That's the only thing I was thinking last night, and thinking about how miserable it was. Although I didn't think about the fact, even though they were talking about 80% humidity, I didn't know that they were having rainstorms as well too. That kind of sucks. That could have been really bad, I guess. And by the way, hopefully everybody down near my stepbrother Rodney's down there in Louisiana, and all of our listeners down there are doing okay.
I think all over the entire East Coast and Midwest.
Shout out to the Gulf Coast.
And we had an earthquake here. What's going on?
Earthquake there?
Yeah.
How big?
Shook my house. Woke me up from a dead sleep on, what day would that have been? It was Thursday, because I was going to talk about it Friday, but we had so much to talk about, I didn't talk about it. But yeah, had a 4.4, which doesn't sound like a lot, it was 16 miles from my house, so it was very, very close, and knocked me out of my bed, thought the world was ending. But yeah, I don't know what's going on.
When's the last time Mount St. Helens there exploded?
1980.
80?
Mm. So this person here, I presume this person is not being a troll. Maybe they are, but I'll address it one way or the other.
All right.
This person here says, you keep saying they're going to do things properly, AEW, with proper heels and faces and consistent storylines, but in the three shows they've had so far, most of the matches seem to be made for no apparent reason, with no obvious face or heel. For example, who is who in Kenny versus Shima or the Young Bucks versus Lucha Brothers? When are they going to start doing things the right way, like you claim? How long before we can stop giving them more chances to get things right and critique them fairly?
Hey, okay. Boss man, I want to give you a moment to gather your thoughts on this, and I just want to point out one thing. The Sean Spears, Darby Allin, Cody Rhodes triangle, which that is an example of them doing something correctly and in a good job. You have Cody, who was attacked by Sean Spears, and they went to a wide shot where everybody's taking care of Cody. Sean Spears is standing there after the match that Darby Allin had, that war that he put on with Cody, where they went to a draw, and big superstar Cody couldn't beat him, and he was laying out on the side of the ring like as if he was a piece of garbage, just laying there. And he was forgotten about, as he has been his whole life, as they tell the story about him being the loner. And then they go into a tag match where Sean Spears defeats Darby Allin, and obviously Sean Spears is going head up with Cody Rhodes. They have some stories like this that you are going to have to treat as if it was New Japan. You're going to have to treat it as if it was pro wrestling. And it's going to be booked out for a little bit longer term. So I understand, and believe me, AEW is going to be judged by anything they put on the air, and deservedly so. But I think you have to give them some time. And unless you are just trolling, I think you have to just stand back a little bit in the four old forest through the trees thing.
If you kill my flow one more time, Mike, I'll kill you. Now,
you
listen,
know you won't.
Listen, Texter.
I got Gage
first off,
over here.
When have I not critiqued AEW fairly? Why don't you text me some examples of some unfair, how, I guess, I don't even know
payroll,
how you would describe
bro.
It. Listen to me. Kenny versus Shima, they're both baby faces. The Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers, they're basically both baby faces. Now, the match was a little bit weird last night, because they wanted to go a long time. And as a result, the Young Bucks, the whole idea was that they were going to be the subtle heel team, making fun of the brothers crying and this and that. But then, because the match was so long, there was an extended segment where the Rhodes brothers were beating on the Young Bucks, and the Young Bucks are sitting there basically as baby faces. So, yeah, it was weird, okay? But if you look at all of these shows, whatever you think about, I don't care what you think about the pre-shows, whether they're good or bad. I don't care what you think about the comedy. I don't care what you think about the match quality. There is no weekly television. So they've had three shows, and every show has to lead to the next show. And if you go back and you look at all three shows, every single person that has won, we'll go all the way back to, what was the first one? Double or Nothing. Mm-hmm. Every winner at Double or Nothing was set up to have a bigger match at the next show. And every person at the next show, which would have been Fyter Fest, everybody on Fyter Fest who won their match, they were set up for a bigger match at the next show. Whatever you think about Brandi Rhodes doing a babyface promo and then working heel, or you can't figure out if the Young Bucks are babyfaces or heels, or you can't figure out why they are doing this thing with the librarian. Whatever your criticism is, one thing that is happening is they are trying very hard to do simple, logical booking from one show to the next. That's
Brian,
it.
Brian,
you may not like it, but it's happening.
Do you remember on the pre-show for the very first show that they had, do you remember who there was a singles match and who won that singles match after the Battle Royal?
The first show?
Yeah.
And
I won't tie you up. It was Kip Sabian. And what did Kip Sabian do? He faced off against Adam Page tonight. And they had a little story with Kip Sabian feeling as though he's good enough, wants to be involved in the mix. And I don't believe in Kip Sabian as much as they do, it seems like. But it was a three-show story where it ended up being him facing off against Adam Page. So again, they told a story even that way with him, so you have to give them, again, may not like all of the characters, you may not like what they're doing, but I think Cody has done a fantastic job with his stuff, and they are moving things along. Again, you may not love all the characters or the people or how they're doing it, but they're at least trying in most cases. So,
well, listen, if you want criticism, I'll give you criticism. There is absolutely no way in 1,000 years that if I booked that show last night, I would have had Adam Page go 19 minutes and 5 seconds with Kip Sabian.
Hell no.
It doesn't matter how much they like Kip Sabian. I'd be fine if you did that match on television, on the first pay-per-view, after the next pay-per-view, whatever.
Bro.
But if Adam Page, who right now, I'll give you more criticism, he is not over with the people like he should be.
No.
They are not into his matches. They weren't into his match here. They weren't into his match at the last show. They are not into him as the number one contender for the world title. They like him enough, but they're not into him like he's the top babyface. And if that's the case, He needs all the help he can get. He needs to go in there and be destroying guys and being the badass hangman, yeah. Whatever you want to do with the guy, to get him ready for Chris Jericho. Barely beating Kip Sabian.
Yeah.
Barely beating Kip Sabian is the last thing that Adam Page needs to do en route to a match with Chris Jericho.
And I guess you don't want to hurt Kip Sabian, but you know what? You could have did an 8-minute match where Sabian was really good, but Page decisively beat him, especially because, as I mentioned earlier on, and like you have said, you don't have Adam Page where you need him to be, and that's just disappointing. Now, just because it didn't get brought up, and it deserves to be brought up, the Evolve show from last night was really good. There was some of the best pro wrestling that you can have on the indie scene, and there was some of the worst as well too, and I won't get into too much of it, but it's one of those shows that if you have the chance to check it out, it was about 3 hours long on the WWE Network, you should do that. But I just got a text, Brian, from somebody that you may know named Antonio Thomas, who asked Brian if he can last 19 minutes and 5 seconds.
Oh, get out of here.
LOL.
Get out of here. While we're at it, the Temple Theater Lucha guy wants to know, do you believe that Apollo 11 landed on the moon? Yes, I do. Well, we're derailing the show here. This person here believes it's going to be Finn Balor as the Demon versus Shinsuke at SummerSlam. Yeah, probably will be.
Ooh, freaky dancing by all.
Back in a moment with more Observer Live.
Like an S&M show with those two.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. This person's angry.
Why?
Says here, how are there 12 dang matches on this dang show? I was going to watch it out of boredom, but never mind, that's way too long of a show.
What?
Well, you don't have to watch all of it.
Yeah.
You can pick and choose. But yes, in general, I mean, these shows don't need to be this long.
Dang
it. I
on.
Mean, there's nothing wrong with a 3-hour wrestling show. Like, I just watched the G1 last night, and it went from 11 to 1:45. So, not even 3 hours. And there were 4 incredible matches on it. Shouldn't say incredible, but very, very good matches. Some were incredible. And overall, just a great show. And when it was over, I was not like, oh, man, if only there had been more block matches. It was like, that was perfect.
Yeah.
They got there. They got an hour of tags. They did their 5 block matches. There was no BS in between. There was no commercials during the matches. There was no complicated video package. It was like, here's the matches. I'll get enough time, as much time as they need, and then the show's over, and you go to bed. Awesome. I don't know why this is such a difficult concept.
But you know what? You couldn't go to bed because you had a show to do with Dave.
Don't even remind me.
Over radio. For subscribers, the same thing that you're going to have to do tonight when you do double duty by doing not only the Wrestling Observer Radio.
3 shows tonight.
Brian Vinny as well, too.
Observer Live, the Brian and Vinny Show, and Wrestling Observer Radio. All coming up tonight.
Machine.
So check it out, everybody. We're completely out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow with more. Or if you're a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com, we'll talk to you 2 more times tonight.
Yeah.
Brian and Vinny Show and Wrestling Observer Radio. There's so much to get into. Plus, as a subscriber, you get full access to every show we've ever done. So if you missed the shows this weekend because you hadn't signed up, sign up and then go back and listen to them. 11,000 shows in the archives. Can you believe it? I can't.
Watch them on video.
But we're out of time. Talk to you again next time. Thanks, Mike, as always. Callers and listeners, everybody in the studio, Wrestling Observer Live.